reading is from Romans chapter 10. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Lord have mercy on us. Our second reading is from Luke chapter 23. And they led him away. They seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed against him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Of course, that has been the theme throughout our midweek Lenten services. But you know what? Evil can often be so much louder than good, can't it? Just turn on the news. As the saying goes, if it bleeds, it leads. So the bloodier, the better. The more sensational the story, that's what gets the most views. So that is what scrolls on your screen, flashes on your screen as breaking news, news flash, our lead story for tonight. Evil is often louder than good. And this is also true in our own heads. Criticism and negative comments seem way louder than any amount of compliments or positive comments. You know how it is. 99 people can come up to you and speak beautiful, kind, loving, encouraging words, but the one complaint, the one criticism, the one insult, that is what gets played over and over in your minds all day and even longer. The gospel is indeed a rare, infrequent guest in our mind, in our conscience. And this, by the way, is why we, dear saints, should be very careful with our words. There is an eighth commandment, after all. It's important. We need to be careful what we say to other people. Because just about everyone that you know, everyone that you come into contact with, is carrying around a truckload of negative comments over and over and over in their head. Evil is often louder than good. And evil is certainly loud in our reading tonight from Luke chapter 23. It starts with the rulers who are the Sanhedrin. If you remember, they're the ignorant, blind, ignorant ones that we've been talking about. They scoffed, our text says. But without even knowing it, the things that they scoff, the things that they say are actually true about Jesus as he is hanging on the cross. Jesus is God's Messiah, the chosen one. He is the Christ. But he's not there to save himself. He's there to die for the sins of all people. And the rulers couldn't see this. Remember, blind ignorance. They can't see what is truly going on. So they scoff and they mock. How loud was that? Loud. Because when evil speaks, it is loud. And it is long in sin. And then there was the soldiers, really executioners. That was their purpose for being there. On a piece of wood over Jesus' head is posted what Pilate had written, the King of the Jews. So in their blindness, the soldiers then mocked Jesus. Oh, some king you are. Look what you've gotten yourself into. If you really were the King of the Jews, look, there's a sign above your head that says you are. If you really are the King of the Jews, then save yourself. Or better yet, you wouldn't even have got yourself in this position. Some king. Laughter, mockery, insults, loud, evil words. And then there's more. One of the dying criminals hanging next to Jesus gets in on the noise and starts blaspheming against Jesus. Aren't you supposed to be the Christ? If you're the Christ, do something. Save yourself and save us. At that point, I wonder how the soldiers and the chief or the priests who were gathered around mocking Jesus, I wonder how they responded when one of the men hanging next to Jesus starts railing against him and adds to the noise and the mockery. They had already stripped Jesus. They cast lots for his clothes. He's got no dignity left at all. He's hanging on the cross, and now a criminal next to him adds his voice to the noise. And it's loud. It's long. It's evil. The way that evil often is. But there's another voice. One voice that speaks not out of blindness, or ignorance, or hatred, or mockery, but a believing voice, one that speaks with honesty and truth and hope. We're going to listen carefully to this voice, the voice of the other criminal hanging beside Jesus, the believing criminal. And yes, we are going to listen to Jesus' voice as well as he speaks from the cross, and he speaks particularly his promise. This believer, that's what we must call him, this criminal hanging next to Jesus, we must call him a believer. The believer first speaks to his fellow criminal on the other side of Jesus. And with the voice of faith, he's astonishingly honest with his words about himself and about the other criminal hanging with him. Don't you fear God? He asks. The unbelief all around them is ignorant. They don't realize that something is happening here, something more, something far greater than just what meets the eye, something mysterious. God's judgment is at work on Jesus. Something more is going on. So the criminal goes on and look, you and I, fellow criminal, you and I are dying here, hanging on this cross because we deserve it. This is right, this is just, but this man has done nothing wrong. Innocent. At this point, the condemned man, the believing criminals, his words, they don't quite prove that he believes yet in Jesus. It simply proves that he knows that Jesus didn't do anything wrong, that he's an innocent man. But there, his next words will show the depth of his faith. Like so many others in the gospel, like the centurion, like the woman who was anointing Jesus' feet and wipes his feet with her hair. And the bleeding woman who believes, just if I touch Jesus, it will go away. And Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the criminal rightfully hanged next to Jesus, is what you might call an unlikely believer. There's a lot of them. Does this unlikely criminal believer really know who Jesus is? Does he believe that Jesus dying on the cross can still be the king that his inscription says over his head? Yes, he does. And when he speaks the truth, and he speaks it with hope. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You see, he knows the truth. He knows that he has a kingdom. He knows that he is a king. He is the king. He's surrounded by evil. Evil is attacking him and destroying him, but he is the king. And he knows that. And this truth gives him hope. Because if Jesus is that long-awaited promised king that God would send, then this is not the end. It can't be the end for this king, for Jesus. If this is God's true king, no amount of evil, no cacophony of evil is going to stop God's plan from happening. And God's chosen one will accomplish that for which he sent. And he knows that. If Jesus is the king, then there will come a day. A day must come when evil is undone, when injustice is overthrown, and when the world is put right back together. A day must come when Jesus comes into his glory, into his kingdom. So as he's dying on the cross, the believing criminal looks forward to that day. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me, Jesus, on that day. I deserve what I'm getting. That is true. But you can save me. Remember me on that day. That's the truth. Remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom. That's the hope, because the day is coming. Dear believers in Christ, you and I have the privilege on this side of the story. We know the end of the story. We know that after sin and evil do all their worst to Jesus, he will rise in victory over it all. We know that. We know that Christ has ascended back to God, the right hand of the Father, and he promised from there to return once again. And on that day will be our final victory. Victory over every enemy, over death itself, will be no more. And just as Jesus is risen from the dead, we too shall arise on that day. The day is coming. Somehow, by God's grace, this believing criminal came to know this and believe this. He knows the truth about Jesus. He is the king. He is the Messiah. He knows that. And he has set his hope on the day of Jesus' final victory. And he says, Jesus, remember me on that day. I don't know when, I don't know how, but remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus has a perfect memory, a great photographic memory. He's not going to forget. This unlikely believer will have a place set for him at the table, right alongside of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, all of the apostles themselves, and every other believer, unexpected or not. Honesty. He knew what he deserved. Truth. He believed who Jesus was, is. And hope. He looks forward to the day. But there's more, because Jesus answers him. He says, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, paradise, of course, is Jesus' word that he uses for heaven, the place of rest and safety in the presence of the living God. When death comes for that believing criminal, and it would be soon, when death comes for him, his body and soul would be torn apart. That's what it means to die. They'll be torn apart for a time. And this is also what is going to happen to Jesus, too, when he dies in a great mysterious way, the death of the very Son of God. His body and soul will be separated for that time, for that brief time. But the believer will know during that time, this believer will know the safety, the peace, and the joy of paradise, of heaven, as he waits in heaven for that final day. Jesus will remember him when he comes into his kingdom, but Jesus gives him the gift right then and there today. Today you will be with me in paradise. Dear saints, when we listen, we need to listen to the voice of faith, not of unbelief. When evil is all around us, and yes, even the evil of our own hearts are trying to shout us down and to deafen us, listen to the voice of faith, not unbelief. There are a lot of mockers in this world. There are a lot of scoffers today. There is a lot of evil, and their voices seem so loud. There's plenty of evil in our world today, and it can feel like that noise is deafening and it's just crushing you. But we have seen the extraordinary and unexpected way that the salvation of our God occurs. The evil that came against Jesus, it crushed him, it killed him. But victory came, and death was undone 3 days later when Jesus rose from the dead. The King rose from the dead. So yeah, we're still waiting. We're waiting here as a church on earth. And the church in heaven, the church at rest, is also still waiting. So together, united in Christ, we are all waiting for that final day when Christ will return, when he will undo death and the devil and sin. We're still waiting for that day. And as we wait, we can let that voice that we heard from that believing criminal, let that voice shape us, shape the way that we speak and shape the way that we think with honesty, with truth, and with hope. Let your voice speak honestly. You know, the criminal said, we're getting what we deserve, right? Well, we speak honestly as well when we say that we deserve nothing but God's eternal punishment, present and eternal punishment. When we acknowledge that if left to our own devices, to our own merit, or our own worthiness, our own goodness, we have nothing, and we would be condemned forever. If God left us alone to ourselves, we would deserve the same as that criminal hanging on the cross. Let your voice speak truth, the truth that Jesus is our King. That afternoon long ago, he emptied himself, as Paul says, and he became obedient to God's plan for salvation of the whole world, to save you. But he's still the King. He's still the King. And that's why that dark day didn't last. That's why our Lord rested in the tomb for only a short time. And that there was a today that was still coming, one that no one expected, where Jesus rose from the dead, the today of Easter. Let your voice speak honestly, truthfully, and let there be hope. Let there be hope. Unshakable hope, built on and based on and founded on the King. Remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom. There's hope. And thanks be to God, his memory is perfect. As we read in our first reading, no one who calls upon the name of the Lord will be put to shame, but will be saved. So once again, we are celebrating yet another season of Lent. We're getting close to wrapping up a season of Lent. That means that we're still here, that the final Easter has not yet occurred. We are still here. It has not yet happened. There's evil all around us as we wait. There's evil within us as we wait. But the hope that we have is built on the King, and that doesn't listen, our hope doesn't listen to the loud voices and shouts of evil. we hear the voice of that same faith that was spoken long ago as that unexpected believer did. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he will come. And he will remember you on that day. And if you were to die before that day comes, before he comes into his kingdom, you have hope in the promise, the same promise he made to the thief on the cross. Today, you will be with me in paradise. And that doesn't sound so bad. But when that day comes, you will have rest. You will have peace. You will have joy in paradise with Jesus, with the whole church, with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, with all the apostles, and all sorts of unlikely believers, including you and me, will all be gathered there worshiping the Lord as together, united together in Christ, we wait for that glorious and joyous day of the final day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.